Hi, everybody. David Donaldson here with another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. Unfortunately, Joe Martin can't join us today. You know, we always have a little bit more fun when Joe's not around. Don't tell him I said that, but it's kind of where we're at. But today we actually have a really great guest. We have Ryan McLaughlin joining us today. He's the CEO of our local real estate board in Northern Virginia, NVAR. Well, Ryan, welcome to Entrepreneurial Impact.
Thanks, David. Appreciate the opportunity and shout out to Joe, even though he can't be here.
He's here in spirit. Okay. Listen, I think it's really important for everybody else. Like, I think we have a lot of local listeners, but we have a national audience as well. So I think everybody's good to give a little bit of background of who you are, how you came to us from New York through Pennsylvania down to Northern Virginia. But just kind of give the audience a little bit about who's Ryan and what moved you to kind of get involved to this level.
Sure. So I grew up in New York and moved to Pennsylvania after college. But my background is studying in college and undergrad. My first jobs out of college were in the political and government affairs arena. I was a political science major, worked for a New York State assemblyman, New York State senator, and got into the campaigning and all that kind of stuff. And I really enjoyed that. But at some point around 2005, I really wanted to get onto the lobbying side. I saw how that works, how the opportunity to advocate on behalf of an industry or a profession or a cause was really impactful on me when I was on the receiving end of that as a legislative aide to a senator and an assemblyman. And I wanted to get into that. And so my wife, who's from Pennsylvania, we decided that's where we wanted to be. We wanted to be in Pennsylvania. And I took a shot at applying for a job at a local realtor association for a government affairs director position they were hiring for. So I had the understanding of how government works and how lobbying works. I knew nothing about the real estate industry, and I didn't know any political politicians in Pennsylvania. But this association took a chance on me as they were starting up this program, and they hired me, and it was the greatest opportunity I could have ever had. Got a chance to get an understanding of how Pennsylvania government works, but importantly, understand the real estate industry and the impact that realtors have, not only just in that association of Pennsylvania, but across the state, across the nation. It's one of the greatest organizations, I think, to be a part of, where it's not controversial. You're representing the American dream of home ownership, private property rights, advocacy. To me, it was great, and I've learned so much along the way. So I did that for about 6 years as essentially their lobbyist. And then the position for the CEO role opened up in the association that I was in. And the association did run its own MLS. So I got a lot of experience in association management that way and understanding how MLS policy works. And a couple of board members came to me and they said, look, would you be interested? We have this vacancy. You've developed relationships. You understand the issues. You've got a rapport with staff. And I thought, no way. I have no interest in that. I really like the government affairs side. But then I gave it some deep thought, and I thought, this could be a chance that I don't want to miss. And they hired me. I went through a competitive application process. They hired me, and I've never looked back. And that was became their CEO in 2011, and then moved to Northern Virginia for the CEO position here in 2015. So I'm coming up on my 10th year.
That's fantastic. It's funny how things happen by happenstance, right? Like, you had a passion, something you were interested in, and then it opens up doors in a completely different field.
Yeah, I never expected that, and I'm glad I did, and I talk about that story all the time with people I know and friends and family, but I had this opportunity around 2011 to go in two different directions, to actually run for a legislative position, state representative position, or to apply for the CEO position, and that was a really tough decision in my career, following one passion to take a risk and a chance on another, but I'm glad I did. I love it. It's been 19 years in the realtor world. And, almost 15 as a CEO, and I love it. This is a great industry to be a part of.
Well, awesome. Well, we're glad to have you here. Now, and we couldn't find ourselves at a bigger crossroads than we are right now. And I think it's important to kind of understand that there's a difference, right? So we have an advocacy board, NVAR, and there are other boards locally to us as well. But also, we all belong to NER. Where is there a difference? So agents, I think, unfortunately, a lot of agents don't understand the primary mission of what our board is and where there's a divergent between NAR and the local board for whatever may. So how would you express that to agents saying that here's the difference and here's what we're representing or what local boards might represent?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question. And you're right. A lot of agents on the ground don't really know the difference between the state, local, and national associations. I would say, so just to describe it simply, I would look at the Realtor Association organization as a federated structure. Think of it like the government. You've got a national, you know, you've got a United States government, each state has a government, and then you've got local governments. It's kind of how the Realtor Association operates. We have the National Association of Realtors, about 1.5 million realtors across the country. Each state has its own state association. In Virginia, it's about 35, 36,000 realtors across the state. And then there are about 1,000 local realtor associations or regional realtor associations across the U.S. We're Northern Virginia. We're the one of the largest in the country. We represent about 13,000 realtors in the greater Northern Virginia region. Our members practice in Fairfax, Arlington, Alexandria, but they also, you know, they live, work, and play in Loudoun and in Prince William and Fredericksburg and D.C. and Maryland, and they're licensed in multiple states. So that's the structure itself. I would say the biggest difference is that as a localist, this is what I love about being a CEO of a local association, is we're the boots on the ground. We get to see the effect and the impacts of what we do every day on our members' lives. We create, and you know, we'll probably get into some of these discussions about benefits, but for example, we are the creator of the regional standard forms in Northern Virginia, our organization, that realtors are using every day to do deals. You know, to conduct $15 billion in sales, you know, a year. And so we're seeing the impact on a day-to-day basis, which I love. You get to see the realtors every day. You get to hear what's on their mind, how the market's impacting them, and how we can help them be successful in their business.
Well, and if you haven't noticed locally, and if you haven't stepped into your local brokerage or haven't had a local conversation, we're about to see some really radical changes taking place. I've been in multiple classes myself for our brokerage and our local market centers about some of those changes. So yes, they are heavily involved with what's happening, and agency to get informed, right? So part of those changes, what I look at, unfortunately, nationally, realtors have taken it across the chin. And at the same time, I think the NAR and board has too. What does that look like from your side? Like, what are you hearing, right? How are the agents expressing themselves about some of the challenges, changes that have come to us? And how are you disarming them through the value that you guys are providing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think, well, I'll backtrack a second here. I think one of the values of being particularly a realtor member of Northern Virginia Association of Realtors is because of our size, with 13,000 realtors and with the influence and access and leadership we can provide and the resources we have, we're able to do a lot more than maybe some other associations might be able to, especially in market, changing market dynamics like today and things in the litigation environment. So we're fortunate to be positioned to help lead towards the future. And you know, we are hearing it from realtors who are concerned about what the future holds and, you know, the impact of the settlement that was announced on March 15th with the National Association of Realtors. You know, we heard some frustration about that. And, you know, we know that change is upon us, and we want to help position realtors for that change. And we're doing a lot of things to help them get ready for that, including some changes to our forms that'll be coming out on later this summer or July 1st, and you know, education and training, public awareness campaigns, demonstrating the value of a realtor to consumers. So we're trying to position them for success in the long run, because we know they're invested in this industry, they're looking for a partner, and we think we're a great partner for them to help get through this.
I think a partner is a good way to look at it. And unfortunately, I think people get rash, and there's some of the decisions of how they feel. There's always an emotional play when they're looking at change, because people don't understand change and they don't get informed enough about change. How are you seeing, or how would you express to agents that had that opposing dynamic saying, hey, whether we need this, what would happen, theoretically speaking, if we didn't have a local board?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the first thing I would say, and this has kind of been a driving philosophy of ours in these current market dynamics and the litigation environment, the settlement environment, is, you know, you've probably heard this quote, you know, it goes something like, there's a reason why your rear view mirror is smaller than your windshield, you know, because you should spend more time looking ahead than looking backwards. And I think that's where we are as an organization in Northern Virginia. You know, we can spend a ton of time talking about the merits of the settlement that NAR entered into, strategies that led up to it, the legal landscape, advocacy challenges around that. We could spend a lot of time doing that. But at this point, we feel like we've got to focus forward. You know, we need to sort of put that behind us and start figuring out together, how do we make this industry successful, realtors successful, working with consumers going forward? And that's what we spent a lot of our time on. We want to be future focused. We want to make sure that transactions are efficient and transparent. And we want realtors to be successful. And you know, they need to get paid at the end of the day. And we're trying to make sure that they're successful in the future.
So I think embracing change, right? And the landscape is ever changing. Heck, real estate agents and how they do business is ever changing. We can talk about the core of the business all day long as building a consumer, but there's a radical change to that. What are some of the most underlooked things, right, that offerings that you're providing or boards in general to the agents that maybe we recognize, okay, this is something we're dealing with now, but what other things should they be focusing on, right, for to kind of say, to look forward to that?
Yeah, well, you had mentioned, you mentioned about change and you know, agents. This industry has been changing for a long time, you know, and just had the opportunity to participate in a leadership program with Stefan Swanepoel and T360. You might be familiar with their company.
Oh, sure.
They're engaged in the real estate industry. And, you know, they talked about how every 10 to 15 years, the industry goes through these big shifts. And we're really in the middle of one of those right now. But one thing that realtors have always been great at is adapting to change and evolving. And we think we're in one of those places right now where realtors are evolving. This is, you know, it's going to take some time to shift their mindset about, you know, particularly around, you know, buyer representation and how they demonstrate their value to their buyer agents in particular. And we've got lots of resources for that. But you can do, and this is what he suggested in his presentation, Stefan Swanepoel, you can do, you know, kind of three things. You can kind of bury your head in the sand and you can just kind of pretend like nothing's going on and just keep going forward as if nothing's changing and let it all change around you. You can make some incremental changes in your business and maybe just sort of around the edges to try and keep things going. Or you can take bolder steps to help determine the outcome of your future. And that's what we've been focusing on as an organization. It's, well, let's do what it takes to position the industry and realtors for success in the long run. Let's not just look at the next 3 to 6 months when we expect the settlement is going to be entered into by the judge by the end of the year. Let's look at how we can create success for the next 12 months, 24 months, next 3 to 5 years. And realtors are willing to embrace that. Longer term realtors who have been accustomed to, you know, doing business maybe a certain way, I think those that have been successful, they know that change comes and they're going to change. They're going to change along with it and figure out and adapt. Newer agents that are joining the business, new realtors, new licensees, they're not going to know anything different. They're going to come into an environment that is a new dynamic, a new paradigm in how real estate is transacted. So there's a lot of success to be had going down the road, but there may be some in the industry that might just say, you know what, I'm going to hang it up. You know, this is too challenging for me. I'm not as invested. And that, you know, that's not so terrible if they make a decision to go into a different career or shift their focus.
So when we look at the paradigm of change, and obviously with the noise, I just was thinking about this. Like, I know how I respond to some of these things. Are you seeing a higher level? Obviously, I think there's people, they have their opinions, but are you seeing an increased level of engagement, like people stepping up and being more involved than maybe previously before?
You know, I would say yes, particularly in person events that we have. I mean, virtual events really took off, you know, since, you know, post pandemic. But yeah, I would say yes. At NVR, we put on upwards of 400 events a year when you account for our continuing education classes, our programs, our networking events. And we're seeing some of the strongest turnout levels that we've seen in a while. Now, I will say we do also get a lot of people that sign up to come for an event. And then we get a good amount, you know, 20 to 30% that don't end up showing up. But the ones that do, it's still a strong number of people. And we think our view on that is realtors are looking for a partner. They're looking for guidance. They're looking for ways to network and learn from each other. They're looking for a sense of purpose. They're looking for ideas on how to navigate through change. And realtors do that together, pressing the flesh. They want to be together. And so our events have been really, really successful. We're seeing more engagement. And then, so that's one aspect, but then we also have the engagement of realtors who are as volunteers at the association.
That's kind of where I was looking at. Like, are you seeing, like, this is why I tell people, like, you have an opinion, you have a concern, get involved. There's no, like, you start off saying politics, right? This is really no different, except we are more, or should be more professionally invested in the outcomes of these things than people ignore government a lot. Now, to me, is not one of those times. Now, there's one of those times to step up, volunteer, get on the board, get involved in the panel, and support and help influence change. That's kind of where I was like, are you seeing that level of engagement increase?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have over 30 committees and forums, advisory groups that are active with the association, which by the way, is kind of different from a lot of other realtor associations. Some other realtor associations and association generals have decided over time to really kind of scale back the number of volunteer opportunities and committees, you know, kind of streamlining. And I think there's some merit to some of that, but we've taken a very different approach over the years. We want to expand as many opportunities as there can be for realtors to get engaged. If you're willing to put your time in, your time and energy into something, you're willing to offer your expertise, you're willing to step up, we want to find a place for you. So in those 30 or so committees and advisor groups, we have over 300 active volunteers that are regularly part of the governance of our organization, including a 16-member board of directors. Or these are your peers. These are realtors who have decided to step out, step up, get elected to the board, and help make strategic decisions. A really good example recently with engagement is with changes to the NVAR standard forms that are rolling out. With the settlement being announced on March 15th, and the settlement terms, the business changes, policy changes set to take effect by August 14th, there's a very limited window of time for the industry to start to put things together by August. Our standard forms committee, our attorney roundtable group made of lawyers who are title agent or settlement attorneys and real estate brokerage representatives, our real estate and settlements and finance forum comprised of lenders and realtors, they were so active. They were willing to meet multiple times in a week. They were doing virtual calls. They were coming in person to make sure that we can act quickly, make informed decisions, and ultimately make recommendations to our board to start to implement. We're definitely getting a higher level of engagement than before.
That's awesome and glad to hear. Now, we'll kind of stay there for a minute. How would somebody get involved and if I wanted to get involved, how would I go about it? What does that process look like?
Yeah, I would say, you know, there's a couple things. One is, number one, I mean, just practically speaking, think about getting involved in a committee or stepping up that level of engagement by volunteering at NVAR. We have committee applications that open up in the middle of the summer, and that's for next year's committee appointments. So you can do that. That's a little bit more of a commitment that's, you know, we're asking of you. But if you're willing to do that, and there's a place for everyone, whether you're a young professional, whether you want to be part of our cultural forums, we have an African-American realtor forum, a Vietnamese realtor forum, so many opportunities. You're into politics and government affairs, there's a place for you. So you can do that. But the other thing is to show up, you know, participate in one of those 400 events a year, whether you're taking your education classes through NVAR, which is, by the way, is complimentary with your membership. That's included with their membership in NVAR. Whether you attend a networking event or you show up and you're active with your other colleagues, show up, and that's a great way to get engaged. And then the other thing is just take advantage of your benefits. When you pay, we are very cognizant of the fact that realtors are cutting a check to NVAR. And, you know, that literally, right? They're paying online, but they're paying their dues, their annual dues. And we work really hard every day, our staff team, our board of directors, to make sure that realtors, when they cut that check, they know that they're getting a good return on their investment in their own profession. And so take advantage of what we have to provide to you. There's lots of different things, and you know, we started off with agents maybe don't know the difference between NAR and some of the things. Well, they also don't always know about what benefits and services are available for them. And there's lots of them, and I can, you know, share, highlight.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a great lead in. I'm just gonna say, like, what are some of the things that I think we all kind of look at things. You can look at any tool that or any app or any one thing that we have. So we don't fully maximize what we're paying. But what are some of the most glaring things that you recognize? Hey, there are these things that are available to people. They're just either they don't know of, aren't aware of, or just aren't leveraging to the degree that they probably should.
Yeah, I think we share a similar challenge that brokers often face, which is communicating value to their agents you know, getting them to take advantage of the products and services that the brokerage offers at Sage, we have similar challenges. You know, we're putting out communications everywhere, email, newsletters, we're on social media, we're doing video, we're doing stuff in person. It's difficult to communicate that value, but we try really hard. But here's a couple of examples. The first one, which I just mentioned, was complementary continuing education. So any realtor that needs to fulfill their continuing education requirements can do so through NBAR as part of their membership. They don't have to pay an additional fee to take the classes, so they can get all 16 hours of their CE. There's also broker CE as well, and post-licensing for those newer agents as well. That's all included as a member benefit. Take advantage of that. We do classes in person, we do them online, but there's a value for you. We have the standard forms that we mentioned to you, but along with that, we have a signature e-signature solution and document and transaction management solution called Docs Plus by Remind. And we know brokerages have their own versions of that, or they contract with it, and that's fine. But they can also use it as a supplementary service, or even if nothing else, for transaction management and cloud storage. We have a legal hotline. That's a huge value that we provide, a highly popular service that we have attorneys on staff that can answer your questions. And to put that in perspective, if you were to go out and hire an attorney on your own, you know, and ask them a question about the forms or a complex situation you're in, you know, you're going to pay a couple hundred bucks an hour to get good advice from an attorney. You can contact our legal hotline as many times as you want, and our attorneys are going to respond to you and give you good insights. They're obviously not going to provide you personal advice and counsel. They're not your lawyer, but they're going to give you really good legal insights and interpretations. You could use that once a day, every day, and get the value on your dues back. That's available to you. So there's lots of examples like that.
I imagine they're going to be working a little bit of overtime as people, because they like to use those from an educational tool and a clarification tool. And I think it's really important, because we can go here a little bit and understand that the changes that are happening is in response to, obviously, the lawsuits and the settlements. And I think there's going to be a transitional period as we learn to utilize the tools. We learn how to do this. I think, unfortunately, a lot of times the agents will, well, how do I work around, or how do I live in the gray? Yeah. Right. And now's not the time necessarily to do that. So how do you talk to the agents and go, hey, this is changing, change is good, but I'm always looking at saying, well, how can I work within the nuance of the law or the change?
Yeah. So it's a good question, and I'll caveat it with, I'm not an attorney. I don't pretend to be one. We have great attorneys on staff that realtors are welcome to call and ask their questions and get some insights from them. But we, you know, we're trying to position, we know that there's a lot of questions like that. We've had several events rolling out the standard forms changes and trying to educate realtors on what it means and how it works. And we know there's those kind of questions. And, you know, the reality is, you know, we've got to adjust to a new paradigm. It's why I use that example of the rearview mirror quote. You know, if you're trying to create workarounds, or, you know, you're trying to kind of do these little changes around the edges, like Stefan Swanepoel, you may not be doing yourself the best service to yourself, but also to your clients, and also potentially in terms of risk management risk to yourself and to your brokerage. You really want to be thinking ahead. Attend one of our classes on the standard forms changes. Reach out to our legal hotline. But this isn't the time to try to figure out workarounds when you're under the microscope of the Department of Justice, who's entered into a $418 billion settlement with the National Association of Realtors. You really want to try to be as smart as you can about this.
Yeah, but I think people need to continuously hear that, right? Because they're always looking for the shortest term solution to lessen the impact of their business versus getting the overtly educated on the changes and why.
Yeah, and there's resources for them to understand that through the Northern Virginia Association of Realtors if they take advantage of it. And we've been partnering up and talking to brokers, trying to help them get the information out, but also asking them to encourage their agents to attend classes and to learn more about it. It's not unusual, I think, for a lot of agents not even really to be paying attention to this until July 1st comes around, and they've got a new contract that they're using, and they ask themselves, well, what's changed? Why is this? What does this mean? We expect that. We know not everybody's paying attention to it, to you know, like every broker is, and maybe some of the more engaged agents, but we're ready for that. We're prepared to answer those questions.
So we get through July 1st, we get through August 14th. And I think there's obviously much more of a learning curve this time than a traditional changes to our contracts. How do you see that working itself? Do you see maybe more, like, I guess our contracts typically change maybe twice a year to some degree of changes. Do you see a more rapid reaction to some of the changes based off of feedback and usage? Or what is the timetable to say, hey, let's see how this goes, versus there may be some things you're sitting on that you're waiting to see? What does that look like for the agent as far as future immediate changes?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. We're ready to roll out. The changes have been launched. They'll be effective right. July 1st. The groups that put these changes together worked really hard to get a lot of input from a lot of different perspectives to make the most informed decision possible to make these changes. I feel really confident in the work that they did and what they're releasing. It's really future focused. It creates transparency in the transaction, and it creates efficiency where we know, you know, there may be less efficiency now that cooperative compensation is no longer allowed in the MLS starting in August. So we think it's in the right direction. That said, we don't have a crystal ball. You know, nobody has, anyone that's tackling this issue, brokers, associations, lawyers, nobody has a crystal ball. We really don't know how the future is all going to shake out. But what we're doing is making the most informed decision and direction as possible based on the information that we have. So being that we don't have a crystal ball, sure, could changes happen in the next, you know, few months? Is there something that happens in the marketplace that's just not working as we anticipated it would, or we need to look at? We are definitely flexible and nimble. Our board of directors is ready to do that. We don't have to wait till January 1st to roll out new forms changes. We're going to be seeking a lot of feedback and input from particularly the brokerage community, but also agents out there that are doing these transactions. You know, what's working, what's not, what did we miss, what adjustments might we need to make in the next couple of months?
Yeah, when I look at that and I try to have an understanding and look at the agents, and I hope that, you know, any future changes are truly based off of experience and forethought, and we're not forced into a continuous situation of change because we have to keep putting stopgaps to the loopholes for the agents that don't want to adhere to what we're truly trying to accomplish.
You know, then there's different philosophical approaches to that. I think speaking from an association standpoint, even an MLS standpoint, we haven't really talked about the multiple listing service, but, you know, we're part of Bright MLS, and I really think that they've got their finger on the pulse of the future. But there are different philosophical approaches. Some associations will take more of the let's bury our head in the sand and just kind of see how this all shakes out and wait and see. And that's, you know, that's the way that they decide. There's some that will do incremental change and sort of around the edges, and that's their comfort zone. That's their governance structure, and that's what they want to do. And then some will take, you know, actions that will help position, that will be more future focused, that will get the marketplace ready for the long term. And that's, you know, we're just going to have to see how that shakes out with different associations and different multiple listing services. You know, I can speak for us, as I've shared several times, we're really trying to be more future focused. We use the famous Wayne Gretzky quote, you know, we're trying to skate to where the puck is going. We skate to where the puck is going, not to where it's been. He was a student of the game. You know, you follow sports, I'm sure you know. That's really what we're trying to do here, is skate to where the puck is going, not to where it's been.
Yeah, that's an interesting quote. He actually attributes that back to his father.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's been very clear about that, and the 100% of the shots, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Yeah. He's like, those are direct quotes from my father, which, you know, but he executed, right? He executed on that, and he lives on those things.
Yeah.
So I've heard you say future 7 different times. I'm not counting. Let's take for a minute and pretend like we're going to get through. We're not going to pretend. We're going to get through. There's no choice. We're going to get through the changes that are the here and now. But what does the future hold for us? What do you visualize the future for agents 12, 18, 36 months ahead?
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to?
You know, I think we go through a period of, you know, some challenge. I think we have to acknowledge that, you know, especially the fact, just practically speaking, we're rolling out our forms changes that are effective July 1st, the settlement changes take effect by August, at least from Bright's MLS standpoint, on August 14th. So we're going to have a little bit of a gap there of where we've implemented changes that are kind of coming on August 14th. And then right. the settlement itself doesn't actually get executed or approved by the judge, which we expect, everyone expects it will, you know, anything can happen, until December of this year. So there's going to be a period of, you know, sort of uncertainty. You know, we're working through this together, but I think we come out strong on the other end of this. You know, realtors will figure this out. They evolve, you know, they adjust to change. So I think we come out successful out of it. You know, the other only other factor here, I think less about the settlement, is just the market dynamics. You know, how are they all going to play out? You know, we've got, you know, lower, we're dealing with low inventory. You know, we're dealing with prices continuing to rise. We're dealing with high buyer demand, you know, with low supply. We're dealing with changes in the industry. So will real estate licensees want to stick it out and try to work through this? Some may decide not to. We've got mortgage rates that, you know, are still in the 7% area. You know, will they start to go down? Maybe not. We have a presidential election coming up. Does that change the direction? So I think in the shorter term, those are variables we're working through. But in the long term, we've managed to figure it out as an industry. And I think we will this time too.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Fed chair has come out and said maybe one change this year in the rate change, so we'll see. The election's come into play. All those things, I mean, we could actually have a whole other podcast on the whole other dynamic of what's going around. You touched on Bright. That's a subject for another day, too, for a lot of agents as well, about how this comes. But I do think that the most important thing for me coming out of this conversation is that, you know, our relationship with our boards, and again, specific family, that's who I belong to, but our boards in general, is imperative, right? This is something that the agents need. And the clarity in the community that that can provide for them is only as good as the input that they provide to it as well. Yep. And that's kind of really, I'm hoping that a lot of people just kind of step up and say, okay, there's something else I'd like to see, so let me get involved.
Yeah, well, a good example of that is you know, like to your question, you know, specifically positioning realtors for success in the future. We've heard from realtors. We know that demonstrating value as a buyer agent is critical right now. An emphasis on understanding your role as a buyer agent and the value you bring. So we've been creating a lot of education and resources and tools and products around that. Because we know going forward, especially after August 14th, there's going to be a lot of emphasis on buyer agents talking to their clients, maybe in ways they never had to before, or they didn't, that they're going to need tools and resources to do that. So that's a great point. You know, we need their input and guidance.
I think, especially on the buyer side, the amount of education that needs to be looked at, you know, I've been in Northern Virginia, that's going back to 2012, and I know our buyer broker representation agreements go back to that time and even pre-exist that to a degree. That's kind of some of the biggest challenges that we're incurring right now, is that those value propositions, those conversations about the agreements. And we could all say, hey, they've always been there, but the challenges we're hearing now, because while they were there, they weren't understood, utilized, and our agents didn't know how to truly execute them to define their value. So to hear you say that educational play for those, I think that's where a lot of people need to live right. How do I express my value in terms of compensation in representation? And what does that actually look like?
Yeah, I mean, a simple thing they can do for now to find resources from us is just nvar.com/competition. And there's so many resources on there that we've been able to share, some of which have been pulled from the National Association of Realtors, some that have been created locally. But there's some good videos that realtors have done about demonstrating your value as a realtor, as a buyer agent. There's a document that talks about the 179 ways a buyer agent brings value to a transaction that they can utilize and incorporate into their presentations with their clients or meetings with their clients. ABR, accredited buyer representative designation, is available. We've hosted, we've hosted 3 or 4 classes already at NVAR. That's a 2-day course that you specifically focus on buyer representation, and you get a designation after it from the National Association of Realtors. It's complimentary right now, at least to take that introductory class. NAR is offering that, and we've closely. So there's tools and resources out there if they want to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I think there's some really great educational opportunities out there for agents. I think I was not ever one to chase designations, but I think finding the right designation to fit who you are, I think ABR is certainly one of those. GRI for me was one that I took when I first got licensed because it just offered me an advanced level of education that I thought I needed to do. And believe there's one called CNE. I don't even know if it's still out there anymore, Certified Negotiation Expert, which was one that I think was the most valuable things I ever took kind of helping me be able to define my value as an agent to my consumers from a representation standpoint. So those things, I love that the boards are ahead of that. So as we wrap up, and I really do appreciate your time, we'll just kind of call it closing remarks here for you, Ryan. What is the, you know, something you would like to leave with our audience hearing from you that I think if you were going to say this is profound and impactful for the people, what would that sound like?
That's a powerful question. I think that, you know, the power of associations is in just that, associating. And it's our 13,000 realtors that are the backbone of the organization. It's their input, their insights, their engagement that are critical to helping set the direction of what the industry is, looks like going forward, what we do strategically as an organization, what benefits, products, and services and events we do. So we really want to have their engagement. And I shared with you a bunch of ways that they can do that, but just be involved, be involved with the association, and reach out to us. We're a resource for you. We're a partner to you. And you know, our philosophy at NVAR is, you know, we're going to be there for you more when you need us than not. We're looking at, you know, stepping our foot on the gas, not pulling back when things are challenging. So expect more to come from NVAR as your partner. Expect more resources, expect more opportunities, and we'll be looking to you for your input and insights as well.
All right, excellent. Well, thanks for joining us. For everybody, thanks for listening to Ryan, CEO of NVR, on this week's edition of Entrepreneurial Impact, and we'll see you all next Wednesday.
Thanks, David.